Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hello.
That was a little delay.
It was an awkward pause because I was wondering if we should add CVPN my initials.
So I was actually going to do that, but now you've ruined it. So let's start over.
Okay.
Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician and certified veterinary
practice manager.
Angel Martin.
Hi, all.
Each week, we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us and our animal hospital. We also try to give you an insight and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. This episode 97 is once again being brought to you by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet in the metro Atlanta area. So, we are broadcasting once again from this morning, beautiful Lawrenceville, Georgia, but last night, snowy Lawrenceville, Georgia, which is kind of weird.
It was exciting, though. It's very exhilarating to see snow here.
So I was out driving, driving home from the clinic, 6:30 to 7, I think, is when all this was really happening.
Yeah, I would say it was probably about around 7 as well.
Huge snowflakes.
So, do you really consider it snow? It was like 39 degrees. I think it was sleet.
No, it was sticking. It absolutely was snow. The snowflakes were so big, it reminded me when I was in Jackson Hole, Wyoming a couple of years ago at a meeting. We were coming back from an event, and it was just like, yeah, softballs falling from the sky. This wasn't quite that big, but golf ball size.
They were
snowflakes.
Big and flat. I don't know that I would go that big, but yeah. Well, maybe like quarter.
Appeared that way. Anyway, but everything has pretty much melted off. 48 degrees, nice and sunny.
That's the best kind of snow.
Yeah.
Like you get to enjoy it falling and then it's gone. Versus like our friends that have snow all the time this time of year, it gets to be all black and slushy and gross and mound up in places. It's not pretty.
So speaking of that, I did speak with the new president, or the incoming president-elect of AHA, Dr. Adam Hecko.
Yay.
This past week, and we were talking about, you know, how things have been during COVID.
And his practice is in Ohio.
And we got around to, you know, curbside. Yes, we're both still doing curbside. And I kind of explained how we are now going out and, you know, standing away from our clients. They're staying in their car with their mask on. We're wearing our mask. We're outside. And I just said, you know, they really are enjoying seeing our faces and we can have that conversation. And that is the most efficient way for us to do that here and now. And he brought up a point, same as maybe Rick Siegel would bring
in
up
Grand
the point.
Rapids, Michigan.
He said, well, the problem, he says, like, what's the weather there? Oh, it's 45, you know, to 50 degrees. And he's like, well, the problem is we're in single digits every day.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't really press that issue, you know, how are y'all dealing with that? Are clients walking up to the door and putting the pet in or what? But happy to be in beautiful Lawrenceville, Georgia.
So you brought up single digits, and I think it's funny. I'm going to try to look it up real quick here and make sure that I'm not misspeaking, but I think there was like a pun or a joke or something following on Twitter that 8675309. Do you know that? That's a song,
8675309,
right?
8675309, yeah.
Apparently, those were the week's forecast in somewhere like Oklahoma or Kansas or something like that.
8 degrees, 6 down. That's crazy.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
I'd have to find the article or something. But Lance was talking about it yesterday. I thought he was crazy. I started singing the song and he was like, no, that's like, it's trending right now. That's the forecast in this place. I think it's Oklahoma, but
that is hilarious.
How funny.
So, we heard from one of our listeners and I have to be honest, I almost thought this was a made up listener because we had gotten an email from her and this is from Anna in, Lawrenceville, New Jersey, who is from Bridgewater. But currently she lives in Lawrenceville. I thought maybe one of my kids like made this up.
Oh gosh.
Because truth be known, when we first started this podcast, Jared, my soon to be graduating senior from high school, reviewed one of our podcasts and do you remember me telling you about this?
No, not at all.
He's like, oh, I just love Dr. Brad and Angel and me and Fluffy.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
he did,
you know,
this on like Podomatic.
Yeah, we just giggle. Yes. And you know, I mean, he did this I'm going to say it's a fake review, but, and I was kind of depressed. But
it was posted on wherever it was.
Yeah, it was posted. Yeah. And the reason I know it was him is one night I'm looking at the reviews and I'm like, oh, Jared, look, there's this person that reviewed us and they absolutely love us. And he's like, Dad, that was me. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, thanks, but no thanks, but thanks. So Anyway, Anna did reach back out. You know, we had not heard from her in a while. And she had a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
One was, I guess she has a pit bull lab mix, and one was regarding allergies and how dogs develop allergies. And I'm assuming this is a skin allergy, not a GI issue. That's the most common thing we see here in Georgia.
It appears as atopy, right? So because they were on steroids and then they tried Apoquel, and then she specifically mentions that now they're doing Cytopoint with some Cytopoint, success.
Yep. Yeah, which is a monoclonal antibody that kind of binds to the antigen that we feel like causes this inflammatory reaction. So she, you know, kind of would like to know how dogs develop allergies. That is a huge subject. And I know we're all a little bit into immunology. In fact, we've talked about it a little bit in the past, but certainly with COVID, you know, are you getting an antigen test or an antibody test? We will maybe dive into that in future episodes. But suffice it to say now that typically the most common allergy we see in dogs is itchy skin, and it's typically an environmental allergen, and it is atopic dermatitis or atopy is what happens. Typically, we're going to see dogs by the age of 2, if they're in the same environment, develop this allergy to whatever's outside that they're reacting to. And then once we start seeing clinical signs, every year that passes, it tends to be very much a seasonal issue. So it repeats with the time of year, but also clinical signs tend to get worse and more severe moving forward. So I'm not really going to jump into the immunology of it, because quite frankly, I know a lot about it, but I'm not an expert enough to just off the top of my head talk about it.
Okay.
Is it IgG, IgE? You know, it's super complicated.
Sure. But I think the way that I would break it down to clients is that we may not know exactly why your pet is, you know, allergic to whatever they're allergic to. And there are allergy testing, so you can kind of differentiate what exactly they're allergic to. But it's not super sensitive. Like, we did it on my dog.
Well, now, what are you talking about? Are you talking about blood test, or are you talking about intradermal skin testing?
I'm talking specifically blood testing.
Okay. So, yeah, we do not typically recommend those because they're not very accurate, and we don't oftentimes do anything with the information we get.
So a dermatology specialist for pets,
yep,
would do intradermal skin testing to try to see what the pet is sensitive to.
They typically would do that. And the reason is, you know, maybe they're not responding to some of the medications that Anna listed, you know, Cytopoint, Apoquel, antihistamines. We try to minimize the use of steroids. And so they're going to try to, quote unquote, get to the root of the problem and hyposensitize that individual patient.
But essentially, most people don't have to go there if their pet is responsive to the therapies.
So in general practice, exactly.
Okay.
I mean, we have such great, safe drugs now that we can use. I love Cytopoint because I basically tell folks their pet should not be able to have any type of adverse reaction. Super, super safe and oftentimes extremely effective. And it lasts for 30 days once you put it in the pet, right?
Yes.
So
some pets longer, some pets slightly less.
Well, so that's controversial. Is it that it lasts longer, or are they not being exposed to what's in their environment that they're allergic to?
I don't understand. Yeah.
Or both.
Yeah.
Or both. So so hopefully that helps a little bit with that. But again, that's very, very, very big subject.
Before we go into Anna's other topic, you mentioned a monoclonal antibody.
Yeah.
So totally not related, but since COVID-19 is still very much upon us, there's reports that there was a gorilla in the San Diego Zoo that tested positive for coronavirus and was given a monoclonal antibody. And the reason they can give it to the gorilla is because they don't have to do as many tests and things like that as far as to give it to humans.
Right.
But that he was showing signs of getting better. So I think that's pretty exciting for where medicine could go for humans, right?
Yep.
It's totally different than a vaccine. Well, not totally different. It's similar, but different than a vaccine.
Well, so right now, I heard on the radio this weekend that a hospital system, or maybe it's the public health department, was recruiting people who have been exposed to COVID-19 and either were exposed or have had a positive antibody test. They are recruiting people to donate blood, in particular plasma with those antibodies. So monoclonal antibodies are not made the same way. They're kind of a man-made antibody through cell passage. And so we're making up these antibodies in the lab setting versus via natural disease. So yeah, I've not heard anything about monoclonal antibodies in COVID until you just mentioned that.
Yeah, so it's very interesting. It's been circling in the news. Winston is the gorilla, like I said, at the San Diego Safari Park in California. And he is been, like I said, he's improving. His symptoms are showing improvement after receiving the monoclonal antibody. So I don't know. I just thought that was interesting. So monoclonal antibodies are used in humans already. I can't tell you exactly which drugs they are, but they are already being used in humans, and they do show like reductions of viral load.
The products that we're talking about, Apoquel acts very similar to Cytopoint, just kind of it works a little bit higher up in that inflammatory pathway, if you will. But Cytopoint, you know, is the antibody we're talking about, are made by Zoetis, which was formerly Pfizer. And we talked about them historically. They will come out with conditional use vaccines. They're very aggressive in a good way, trying to come to market with some of these products that should be safe. But the conditional aspect is, are they useful and are they doing what they're supposed to do? So
the biggest one I was going to think of is Humira. That's a monoclonal antibody for people with RA.
Yeah, rheumatoid arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so very cool. Word of the week, if we're ready to move into that.
Yeah, so still kind of this is the second, playing off of Anna's second question here. Word of the week
is myopathy.
Myopathy.
And so maybe the phrase of the week is acute caudal myopathy.
Okay.
But myopathy, what does it mean? Break it down. Myo.
Muscle.
Path.
Way. I don't know.
Disease. Right. Pathology.
Yes.
Myopathy.
Yes, yes.
Neuropathy. Pathologic fracture.
People must think I'm like so goofy on here.
Yeah.
Especially after last week's email thing.
Miss, I don't know how.
I don't.
How
have you ever gotten so stuck
is.
In your brain? Like, that's where I was. I was so
Absolutely.
Stuck that
you were like, I'm right. He is so wrong. This does not make sense.
Okay.
But,
so
yeah.
Here comes our ADD, right? But like, I have shared with pretty much anyone in my inner circle that it bothers me to my core that you cannot unread a text message, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, it just doesn't make sense. So now I'm thinking, like, I guess where my brain was thinking last week is like, why would you have to put a .com if you have a Gmail address? Like, duh, why would you have to use gmail.com? Like, that's so silly.
Because it could be
.net.
Like,
I mean, I guess I get it. But anyways, I apologize for making people listen to that last week.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move on because we spent way too much time on that last week. So back to myopathy, or in particular acute, meaning very abruptly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here and now. Caudal, meaning towards the tail end of a pet. Myopathy, muscle disease, also called limber tail. So basically we're talking about sprained muscles in the tail.
Mm-hmm.
And Anna related that her dog keeps spraining his tail from the snow. I'm not sure what that means. I'm envisioning that he lays on his back and just rolls in it and is just like wagging his tail back and forth, almost like a snow angel.
Maybe, or but, like if the snow is deep, you know, using it to kind of help propel himself out. I don't know.
Yeah, so I don't know either.
Maybe he gets super excited in the snow.
Maybe he just goes out when it's snowing. Like I saw some videos uploaded to WSB TV today.
Of dogs from Georgia,
Yes, of dogs. And then you shared with me last week the pandas sliding down the snow.
Oh my gosh, that's so cute.
Yeah. So yes. maybe her pet, which we don't know his name yet, maybe we can find that out later, is just so happy, right? So typically we see quote-unquote happy tail issues in
yes.
the clinic,
yes.
which is when a dog wags its tail so hard and hits an object such as a wall or a coffee table that he or she typically damages the tip of it to where we start getting a bloody sore.
Mm-hmm.
So we see that much more common than limber tail
mm-hmm.
or acute caudal myopathy. which again is just spraining of the tail due to typically excessive swimming, a hunting dog, whether they're pointing or they're just so happy again, or maybe they love the snow for some reason or the other.
So what happens when you see a dog with limber tail?
Well, basically they typically are going to present that they don't feel well. Maybe they have a hard time getting up or sitting down. Maybe their tail is tucked down between their legs.
It just doesn't wag anymore.
Or maybe it comes out, you know, 2-3 vertebra and then it drops down. And so, they're typically pretty painful, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. And I guess diagnostically, it really boils down to physical exam, palpating the tail, trying to localize where the pain is. Sometimes you would want to x-ray to make sure they haven't fractured a vertebra in their tail. But you basically rule everything out. You know, are their anal sacs full? Where is the pain coming from? And so it's pretty much a physical exam diagnosis with the addition of ruling out some other diseases.
Sure.
And then basically...
Or causes of a limp tail.
Yeah. And so this is different than... I was going to bring up the fact than a neuropathy, like an acute caudal neuropathy, which would be a completely limp tail, not a limber tail, but a tail that's flaccid and dropped down.
Mm-hmm.
When you examine that dog as a clinician... they have no tone to their tail. If you pick it up...
Essentially, it's not painful.
Non-painful. If you pick it up, it's just going to fall right back between their legs. And you know it's neurologic because they're unable to move it, but also they tend to lose anal tone. So that's typically due to a nerve problem ahead of the tail, towards the head. Right.
Sure.
So such as a disc problem or severe degenerative neuropathy. So, but that was kind of cool. I wouldn't have thought that dogs would get this due to snow again, whichever case scenario.
So it's interesting because we don't see that very much, right? But I mean, so it is also termed as like swimmer's tail, and we could see that a little bit more here having like Lanier, around. But essentially, I think her question is, you know, can they sprain a sprain? And yeah, I mean, I don't see why not.
Keep it irritated, yeah.
Yeah, because
rest and non-steroidals are going to be the keys to treatment. But if they continue to wag their tail, you know, aggressively, they're going to keep those muscle fibers, you know, active and inflamed.
Yeah, so rest is definitely hugely important. And
maybe
then
some cold therapy. Maybe take like a dish towel, soak it in an ice water bath, and then if he or she would tolerate it, wrap it around the base of the tail just to kind of reduce the inflammation.
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan too.
And then, you know, also I think she mentioned her and her veterinarian have discussed possible tail amputation. Certainly that is an option if this continues to happen and the continual spraining of the tail affects his or her quality of life.
Yeah, I mean, but clearly he must love the snow.
Oh, he must, yeah.
So... once he gets better, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily keep him from doing what makes him happy, but
right.
Obviously with, maybe time limits or something so that he doesn't become so sprained or strained.
Yeah, well, I'm
in the
sure
future.
She's aware of that. And yeah, you're exactly right. Do not put your pet in a bubble or glass house. Maybe glass house is the wrong analogy here, but,
same difference.
Let them do what they love doing, which is the perfect segue into our healthy pet, happy life. This is more comments. So again, we had snow last night, snow on the ground today. I was actually running on the treadmill this morning watching WSB News, and they're talking about the forecast and what it's going to look like. And then all of a sudden on the left-hand side of the TV screen, I see the WSB dog walking forecast for today. And I'm like doing a double take. I'm like, what? There's a picture of, I think, a beagle. And they actually are forecasting, is it a good day to walk your pet or not?
Okay.
And so, you know, again, this kind of healthy pet, happy life, or happy life, healthy pet.
Same, right?
Dogs are dogs. And most of them, unless they will fit in the palm of your hand, like to be outside, they like to enjoy their environment and nature, and they like to walk their humans. And so I don't know why I thought this was interesting, but it was to me that now they're on the newscast. Our pets are on the newscast. Is it a good day to walk your dog or not?
Well, I think it's important, right? Because Gosh, I feel like you've mentioned this, that your wife, Mary, who is also a veterinarian, has mentioned how silly she thinks people are in your neighborhood when it's the deadest summer and they're out walking their dog at noon, the hottest point of the day, the concrete's so hot, and, you know, she just feels bad for the pet's feet. So, I don't know, maybe for the people who watch the news, if they can say, like, yeah, today's a good day, or only take a stroll for 10 minutes. I don't know what the forecast was saying.
Well, it was just saying, beware of the snow, slip and slide, you know, you and your pet. Otherwise, it's going to be a sunny day.
Okay.
And so, you know, if I'm being honest, it's kind of common sense. I mean, if we look outside and see what it's like, we should know when or when not to walk our pet. But to your point, if you're going to walk, if you live in Phoenix, Arizona, it's 110 degrees outside, there's people out walking their pets.
Yeah.
With or without booties, so.
But definitely do things with your pet that makes you happy and them happy, and you will essentially have a happy pet and a healthy life.
Yes, they are definitely, we should, most of us do and should own pets and take very good care of them because they add to our quality of life.
Of
Otherwise,
course.
Why would you have a pet?
So since we were talking about the forecast, let's talk about Groundhog's Day. So now it is Super Bowl Sunday, February 7th, but Groundhog's Day was...
What voice was that?
I don't know.
Is that your commentator voice?
Yeah, that was my commentator
voice. Or
was
that like your boxing commentator?
Yeah, that was my announcer voice.
Okay.
But anyways, now the Groundhog Day was February 2nd, and I thought it was interesting because we have a little bit of a controversy here with... how do you say his name?
Punxsutawney Phil.
Okay, and
General Beauregard Lee in Georgia.
So, Mr. Phil is in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Typically, there's like a huge crowd that draws around for him because this is a really old like tradition. Back
from
the
1860s or something?
1886,
yeah.
1887, yeah. So, but due to COVID, there was nobody there, but it was obviously broadcasted or live, streamed live.
So, a virtual Groundhog Day expose or whatever you would call this.
Sure.
Airing.
But anyway, so he, Mr. Phil, saw his shadow, which essentially means that we will have...
You can't say that word. Say it. Punxsutawney.
I can't say it.
Okay. Mr. Phil.
Punxsutawney. Punxsutawney Phil.
Punxsutawney Phil. Okay.
That he saw his shadow, so essentially we're going to have another 6 weeks of winter. So... Reading a little bit more into him.
Which is just the opposite of what I would think. I would think if the sun is out and you see your shadow, that indicates it's going to be warming up. But Groundhog Day is just the opposite.
Right? I don't understand it by any means,
right.
But
if
no.
If you don't see your shadow, that means there's clouds out and therefore we're going to have an early spring. So anyway.
So reading a little bit more into his story and about, you know, essentially. So he is only right or correct about 50% of the time over the last 10 years. It is a tradition. I was going to say, I don't know why we do this, but some people are very, what is that word?
Superstitious.
Superstitious, yes. So like I said, the controversy is here. Our own Georgia General Beauregard Lee, he did not see his shadow and forecasted that we would see an early spring. Which I guess,
so
quite
they contradict,
frankly,
but we're in different areas of the country.
I was going to say the same thing, but essentially, aren't they predicting like for the country, not just for their own city or state?
Well, I don't know. We'd have to ask them.
There are other people or other states that do have their own groundhogs. So Ohio, North Carolina, New York, like I said, here in Georgia, Tennessee, Wisconsin, Illinois, Maryland, West Virginia, and Michigan, they all have their own groundhogs. So essentially, I guess they all go off of their own groundhog's prediction.
Yeah, that's crazy. Very similar to your odds. So again, Super Bowl is going to happen at 6:30 this evening. Do you understand, like, the over-under, if you're betting on the game? Do you know what that is? Like, the total score over-under?
I know nothing. I barely understand squares.
So, with Super Bowl going on, there are literally thousands of bets that you can bet on anything. And one of the, regarding the game, one of the more popular bets is who's going to win the coin toss.
Okay.
Right. And so there's all these
odds.
So
the quarterbacks go out and do the coin toss? Like, why is it such a big deal?
The captains do. It's not always a quarterback. But
okay.
They go out and, like, who's going to win the, that's a 50-50 bet, right? Like it's a coin, you flip it once, you've got a 50% chance.
Has it ever not landed on heads or tails?
Not that I'm aware of. But
because it could land on its side.
It could stick in the ground. You're absolutely right, but I don't think
I mean, there's
even
on a grass, right?
So my point being, anyway, back to the story, the over-under, which is betting on how many points will be scored, it is like 50.1% one way and 49.9% the other way as far as the odds,
wow,
odds makers making that on Super Bowls.
So you're basically not going to make any money if you bet on it.
Well, if you pick the right side, yes, but you basically have
a 50-50 chance.
Yeah,
that's what I'm
historically
saying,
based on where the odds are set. So very much like Groundhog Day, 50-50 chance that they may be right or may not be right. So
in regards to the Super Bowl, I think the more interesting thing is the Puppy Bowl. I'm excited for the Puppy Bowl.
Oh gosh.
So there's going to, what?
I don't have the article, but somebody heard that Martha Stewart is hosting the Puppy Bowl?
Yeah, I believe so.
What does she have to do with football or puppies?
I don't know. She has cute dogs.
Does she?
Depends on if you like chows.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyways, I think it's interesting. So there's going to be some 70 dogs in the Puppy Bowl this year, and some of them are going to be rescues or pets that are available for adoption, and then some of them are not. So
so this all started, what, 15 years ago, and it was basically, I think what comes to my mind is yellow lab puppies running around in this enclosure.
I stand corrected. It's 70 adoptable puppies.
Adoptable. But these are just puppies running around playing with each other, and does it go on during the game or before the game or at halftime? I think it started just like...
It's 3 hours long, so it goes
the
on...
Whole thing.
Yeah, the
duration
of the
game. So if you don't
want to
watch Super Bowl,
yeah,
you can watch Puppy Bowl.
Yeah. So you can catch it this year on Discovery Plus and Animal Planet. Animal Planet is where I always thought it was going to be, but Discovery Plus is a new streaming service. I'm not too familiar with it by any means, but I don't know. I'm kind of excited about it. I think the Puppy Bowl is really cute. I can't watch it for 3 hours.
No.
But I don't know. I think it's interesting. And then the First Lady, Jill Biden, and her two dogs, Champ and Major, they're
Shepherds.
Going to be
yep.
making a PSA today at the Puppy Bowl about wearing your masks.
Oh,
so.
Very cool. All right. Let's get into one more story, and then we probably should sign off. You pulled this story, and I had read it earlier in the week, about an animal tranquilizer, which is, I think it's the most common drug that people are overdosing on in Philadelphia.
Well,
is that correct?
It's one of the top three. So I think still heroin and fentanyl are going to be your top two.
Okay.
And then xylazine.
So veterinary related.
Yeah. So this is the number one veterinary related drug.
Do you know what xylazine, the brand name was called way back in the day? Because it's
no.
primarily a large animal.
So this is what
anesthetic.
I was going to ask you. Like when I graduated 2007, I feel like the first practice I worked at, we used some ketamine xylazine compounds, like whatever you want to call them, mixes for induction. And that was probably the first and the last time I ever used xylazine.
Yeah, xylazine used to, the brand name was Rompin.
Ah, yes, that's
Rompin
actually
ketamine.
Sounds familiar.
And that's primarily a large animal drug. I don't remember the dosing. I think it's about a tenth Rompin to 9/10 ketamine, and you could lay a horse down and castrate them on that.
But we used it in companion. I didn't work in large animal. I worked in companion animals, so that would be like our induction for like we did tightrope procedures or CCLs that way.
Yeah. So it did spill over into small animal medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Different strength. I think it was 20 mgs per mil versus 100 mgs per mil. But probably at this point, 10, 15 years ago, whenever Domator came out, Domator is extremely similar to xylazine.
But safer.
And then they found a better isomer of Domator, and that's the Dex form of it.
Meditome.
And so now we use Dex Domator as one of the main sedatives we use in practice. So where I'm going with this story talking about xylazine being abused by people in Philadelphia, I don't even think we have a bottle in the practice here because we just don't use it. It's kind of outdated.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say. So I thought it was super interesting that these people are so essentially what's happening, and I have no idea, but I think they're cutting or they're lacing their fentanyl and or their heroin with xylazine for, I guess, an extra high or a longer lasting high or something like that. I have no idea.
Cutting or like, you really know a lot about this.
I don't. I can only tell you what I read. But anyways, so xylazine is the brand, the generic name as we know it, or the drug name. On the streets, it's known as trank dope or sleep cut.
Okay.
And so this is a non-opioid sedative painkiller muscle relaxant. It mimics the effects of an opioid. Yes? Fair to say?
Yeah.
It is not a controlled substance in the veterinary practice, although it's always been in a lockbox wherever I've seen it. Is that right?
I mean, yes, I would say, because of it's an anesthetic, yeah.
So,
although we don't keep Dextromethor in a lockbox here.
Well, let me see.
So, I mean, this is interesting because we're talking about ketamine and xylazine. And for the last 20 years, Special K, as it was known on the street, ketamine, people would break into veterinary clinics to simply look for and steal ketamine.
Yeah.
Because it was so abused in years past.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're talking about its cousin and, you know, its relative, xylazine.
Which is not controlled. I just looked it up. It is definitely not a controlled substance. Although we've always, in the practices that I worked, it's always been kept in a lockbox.
Yeah, sure.
And I guess because it has this tendency to be abused. They first started, I guess, seeing it in drug abuse cases in Puerto Rico in about the early 2000s, where it was described as the zombie drug. So just imagine what people look like on xylazine, because that's, yeah. I mean, it essentially knocks pets out,
yeah,
knocks them down for sure. What I found most interesting about this article, and again, this is in Philadelphia specifically, which I do believe that we have an opioid crisis throughout the United States.
Nationwide, for sure.
And it's probably happening in more cities, but the very last, I guess, sentence of this article says that, meanwhile, public health officials are more worried about the fact that it doesn't respond to the overdose reversal drug naloxone or Narcan because it's not an opioid, leaving responders helpless to prevent overdose. This is where it bothers me so much. And maybe somebody has talked to a veterinarian, but where is this whole One Health thing on the medical side of things? We in the veterinary industry always try to look like, is there something on the other side of the mm-hmm. medical world, right?
What can we learn from them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a reversal agent or an anecdote for xylazine.
Yeah.
All they have to do is ask a veterinarian.
Yeah. So I guess they're giving the Narcan when they find somebody OD'd. And yes, to your point, if they suspect that xylazine is on board or they don't respond appropriately, then they should go ahead and give yohimbine.
Yes.
So, once again, back to our current drug that we use, Dextromethor, the beautiful thing about it is we can reverse it within typically 2 minutes of giving aniseedin, is what we call it. So, yeah, that's a really great point. I mean, it does flow both ways, and we need to learn from them. They need to learn from us, need to communicate. And there's a solution out there already. For sure.
I just think it's like, you know, right hand talk to the left, meet in the middle, see what's happening. I would hate to be a first responder and somewhat feel helpless, knowing that there is something out there that could help essentially these people.
Yeah, cool.
But
anyway. All right, so many first responders will be at Super Bowl tonight. By the time this is pushed out, it will be over. So let's kind of end the podcast with some predictions. Who's going to win the Super Bowl, Angel?
My knee-jerk reaction is Chiefs, but doesn't Tom Brady play for the Buccaneers?
He does.
Okay,
he does.
So I just don't think you can bet against Brady, but my knee-jerk is Chiefs. So I'm 50-50. How about that?
Yeah, so they were saying GOAT, greatest of all time, in Tom Brady. And
if he pulls this out, he'll definitely be the GOAT.
I forgot what they were. I don't know if it was GOAT Jr. or pre-GOAT or what, Mahomes, but it was funny a couple of days ago. So I want Kansas City to win. I think Kansas City will win, but I also am not going to rule out the fact that Tampa Bay could very easily win and upset them. So I'm going to predict Kansas City 30 or 31, Kansas City 31, Tampa Bay 26.
I'm not going to go there as far as numbers.
Okay. Not over or under.
50-50.
Okay. There you go.
It's fair for the podcast, right?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Miss Anna, for sending in your email. Definitely, if anyone would like to send in questions, hopefully, Anna, you found some answers to those things. Certainly, if not, feel free to continue emailing, and we'll try to hammer things out for you. But the email address is angel@mygavet.com. Do you remember that commercial? It was an old Yahoo commercial.
Yes.
Or drmiller@mygavet.com. All right, guys. Check in next week as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Follow us on Instagram @PeoplePetsAndVets. Follow all of our clinics on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And check out our blogs on our website at mygavet.com. Please hit subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. And remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
Bye, guys. Go Chiefs.